Good evening. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the BPER Full Year 2017 Results Conference Call. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alessandro Vandelli, CEO of BPER. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to welcome you, and thank you for participating to our 2017 Results Conference Call. This is Alessandro Vandelli, CEO, and I'm joined by Roberto Ferrari, CFO, Alessandro Simonazzi, Head of Planning and Control, and Gilberto Borghi, Investor Relations Manager. Before going through the details of 2017 results, I'd like to emphasize the main strategic focuses and messages of this presentation, as highlighted in the executive summary on page four. In my opinion, there are three important messages. The first message concerns asset quality. We are highly satisfied for the improvement of this year with a gross NPE ratio at 19.8%, better than expected, and well below June 2016 peak at 23.5%, and down for the sixth quarter in a row. The second point is, it's relevant that we achieved this significant reduction of the NPE stock, keeping intact our strong capital position, with a common equity Tier 1 ratio fully phased of 13.7%, and with an excess capital buffer of 1.9 billion euro versus minimum regulatory requirement. The third significant element of this year is the net profit. It reached the amount of 176 million. It's affected by many non-recurring items, but overall, the positive items offset the negative. Obviously, also thanks to the presence of the badwill arising from Nova Caricet of 191 million, we adopted a very prudent approach in terms of provisions and impairments. In light of this positive result, the board proposed a cash dividend of 0.11 per share, nearly double the 0.06 in 2016. Now, I'd like to focus for a while on asset quality trend, and I want to underline the effectiveness of the managerial actions. On page six of our presentation, first of all, there is a focus on the underwriting process. Let me express that the first objective was to have a better quality in the performing exposure. As you can see, in the last 5 years, we were able to reduce from 9.9% to 5% the high-risk exposure, and at the same time, the low risk increased at 10 percentage points from 47% to 57%. This is absolutely an important switch, and this is also in the default rate. Default rate some years ago was 7.1%, today is 2.1%. Let's turn to page seven of the presentation, and here the focus is on the pre-default and default management. Also here, we work to create a department with 120 NPE experts, enhancing the early warning system, and redesign the credit department. In my view, the results are absolutely positive. In 2017, the cure rate reached 11.5%, and the downgrade rate declined at 16.1%. Other positive elements are from our BPER Credit Management, our workout unit focused on the bad loans. You know that we have more than 130 specialized workout managers, and let me express the trend of this company with the cash collections in the last 2 years, In 2016, we had plus 12% year on year, and this year plus 33%. So all these elements are reflected in the NPE trends. On page 9, first of all, you can see the evolution of the gross NPE ratio in the last 5 years. And you can see that we had 6 quarters in a row of decline, going below 20% after some years. At the same point, in my view, is absolutely important also the cash coverage trend. Also in 2017, we increased the coverage by 4 percentage points from 44 to 48.7. And at the same time, we had an impressive reduction in the Texas ratio. Some years ago, it was at 127. Now we are very close to go below 100%. Another element extremely important is our situation in the unlikely to pay. On page 10, let me present the trend of the unlikely to pay on the loans, on total loans. We had a strong decline by something very close to 9% to 6.2% at the end of 2017. This percentage is one of the lowest in the Italian banking system. We think it is an important element to understand what could be the evolution of our portfolio. But let me remember what was the slide presented in November on the NPE strategy 2018-2020 on page 11. This is the slide presented last November. As you can see, our expectation was to have 20.5 of NPE gross ratio, but as you see, at the end of 2017, the gross ratio was 19.8. And so the reduction in the last 18 months is not 3 percentage points, but close to 4 percentage points. In light of this very positive trend, we are analyzing the opportunity to have a stronger acceleration in the reduction of the NPE. We are working to have an update of the NPE plan and to by the end of March, and an update where we will be more ambitious in terms of target. First of all, we want to accelerate the activity on securitization of bad loans, and we want to be below 15% by the end of 2018, and in the next 3 years, go below 10%. We think that now this is possible thanks to our capital position and our strategy. Now, I'd like to focus on the balance sheet and profit and loss, and then there will be time for the Q&A. So now we are on page 13. Let me say at the beginning that during 2017, you know that we completed the acquisition of New Carife. The dimension, the figures of the New Carife compared with the group are very small, so we decided not to present on the like-for-like basis all the figures. So I try to say something when there is a significant difference between the number presented and something without the New Carife. First of all, what is important is to see the total funding. as you see, it's important to say that for the first time, we are well above 90 billion euro of total funding. The trend is absolutely positive, and the indirect funding at bancassurance is now very close to 45% of the total funding. Another important element is the trend of bonds. As you can see, there is a reduction of bonds subscribed by the retail customers. At the same time, there is an increase in bonds subscribed by institutional customers, also due to the new Tier 1 issued in May 2017, a benchmark size of 500 million euro. Now we can move on page 14. Here we have assets under management bancassurance. The increase in assets under management is really impressive. We have +21.3% since December 2016. It's really important to underline also the inflows. The net inflows in 2017 were 2.2 billion euro, double the figures of one year before. Positive was also the growth in bancassurance, up by 7.9%, and the assets under management at bancassurance weighed at 60.3% of the total indirect funding in bancassurance. On page 15, we can see the customer loans and the trend in this year. +5.1%. Without the tariff, the trend was 2.1%. Also, without tariff, we have an increase in customer loans and continued the positive trend of residential mortgages. The production in 2017 was up by 23.1% compared with 2016. Let's turn to page 16, the financial asset portfolio. As is important to underline that in the last quarter, there was a stable amount of the securities portfolio, the financial assets at 15.5 billion. What is, in my view, extremely important is to underline the trend of Italian govies. At December 2016, were 5.9 billion euro. In December, were 5.3, 34% of the total amount of the portfolio and below the equity of our group. The process of diversification in this year was really significant, and the result is this percentage of our Italian govies on the total amount of financial assets. At the same time, there is a positive trend also in reserves. On available for sale is 128, and the implicit reserves on the other categories is 108. On page 17, we have the trend of gross NPE. Let me say that we have already described the trend of the different categories. Let me only underline the trend also of the net NPE ratio. There is a decline of 2.3 percentage point at 11.3. On page 18, you can see the default rate, danger rate, NPE rate, but we have already analyzed this trend with only one figure, the amount of NPE inflows. As you can see, there is a reduction close to 50% compared 2016 to 2017. This is extremely important, and we think that it's possible to have another better performance in 2018. Now, we can move on profit and loss, and on page 20, there is the full year 2017 reclassified consolidated profit and loss. Let me say that the operating income are at 2.038 billion euro, -1.4% year-on-year, but +0.3% net of non-recurring items. It also is important to understand the profit before taxes is 199 million euro. Page 21, the core income. As you can see, the core income during 2017 is a reduction by 1%, but let me stress the trend in the different quarter, and after a decline in the second, we had an increase in the third and in the fourth quarter. This is important looking at the trend in 2018. The NII had a decline by 3.9%, and as you can see, the contribution coming from the securities is more or less stable in the different quarter, around 54 million-55 million euro. Obviously, the impact on NII of the spread effect is really important, as described in page 22, and the volume effect has only partially offset the effect coming from the spread effect. The commission had a good performance, as you can see on page 23, +3.9%, and the amount of the net commission reached 740 million euro, mainly driven by the rise in fee income related to the asset under management bancassurance. As you can see, in this area, we had +19.9%, and this trend offset the reduction in loans and guarantees fees and other commissions. Particularly important is the increase in the last quarter, so +6.4%. There is no change in the perimeter between the third and the first quarter, so this is extremely important to be very close to 200 million euro in a quarter in commission and fees, and this is probably the best result in the last years for Fineco Group. Moving on, page 24. Trading income reached 115.6 million euro, -11%, but focusing on trading gains, excluding dividend and without non-recurring items, we had an increase by 19.7% year-on-year. Operating cost, all the operating cost, staff expenses, other administrative expenses, D&A, obviously are impacted by the new tariff in the perimeter of the group in the second half 2017. You can see this increase by 2.3% is due to this different perimeter. What is important is also to see the number of employees. We said that our target was to reduce the staff of 300, close to 500 in Carife, and this target was reached by the end of 2017. At the same time, there was another staff reduction, close to 500 people in this year. On page 26, the provision breakdown. Total provision at 655 versus 770 in 2016, including non-recurring items. Here we have the adjustment and impairments of Atlante Fund for 52.9 million euro. Also the contribution to the voluntary part of the fund for Cari Cesena, San Miniato and so on for something around 30 million euro. At the same time, I think it is important to see the reduction of cost of credit from 620 to 536. So the cost of credit in 2017 was at 112 compared with 136 1 year before. Now we can move to liquidity and capital adequacy. Looking at the liquidity, we have an important increase in the counterbalancing capacity. We had 21.3% increase. We are close to 16 billion euro, and the unencumbered portion of the counterbalancing capacity plus the deposit with ECB, we have more than 5 billion euro of liquidity position. LCR and NSFR are above 100%. I would like to remember that the exposure in TLTRO is at 9.3 billion in December 17. Now the capital position, we have a common equity in one ratio fully phased at 13.7. Their DRB model extension to Nuova Carife is expected for the fourth quarter 2018 with an estimated positive impact on common equity in one of 10-15 basis points. At the beginning, we thought that it was possible to have this extension by the end of December, but we need to have more days for the communication, so we wait for this alignment to the internal model by the end of March 2018. Without this element, the common equity one was stable compared with the figure of September 17. As you can see, the IFRS 9 first-time adoption estimated the impact first reporting date March 2018. We had a common equity one pro forma fully phased higher than 12% and phasing higher than 15%. So now we are at the end the end of the presentation. Only some final remarks. I think that the most important message is the effective and visible result in managing the credit quality. Obviously, it's not the final target, but is probably a good starting point for more ambitious target for the NPE ratio. And so we confirm strong commitment to continue reducing bad loans, improving recoveries, better than those declared in the NPE strategy 2018-2020 presented in November 17. And we think that this is possible thanks to the very solid capital position that we confirmed also in this 2017 result. So 2017 has been, in a few words, a very good year for many reasons, as I tried to tell you during this call. I strongly believe that 2018 will be even better, a year in which the group will be able to combine a strong reduction of NP stock and further enhancement of recurring profitability, mainly driven by significant decline of cost of risk and while working hard on the top line. Now I would like to thank you very much for your time and attention, and now together with my colleagues, I'm ready to answer to your questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Christian Carrese with Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. I have three questions. The first one is on the MP, the new MP plan. Very good job already in 2017 to reduce the gross MP ratio. I was wondering, you said that maybe you can do better than the 13.5% gross MP ratio target 2020. Are you going to give some indication in the new business plan presentation? And do you think that you will be able to keep the common equity tier 1 ratio fully phased above 12%, even assuming higher disposals and a faster reduction in NP to reach a 10% gross NP ratio? The second question is on the loan loss provisions. You said basically you're going to do the first time adoption, a quite important increase in coverage ratio. Can you give us a guidance on what you think is a reasonable level of LLPs in 2018? And finally, on the common equity tier 1 ratio level, I was wondering if you have embedded in the plan to 2020 any effect for EBA guideline and so on. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Christian, for your questions. First of all, MP plan. let me say that our starting point is that the performance in 2017 are absolutely better than expected. So we think that we didn't imagine to be possible to go below 20% in this year. This is a positive. And now we are working to accelerate the process of the first disposal. So, you know, in our plan, we had two securitization. We one in Banco di Sardegna, the other one in BPER. In Banco di Sardegna, we are very close to complete the perimeter of the first securitization, and I confirm that we expect to complete all the process by the end of the first half 2018. At the same time, we have already started activity on BPER, so I know that is challenged, but anyway, we want to complete also the securitization on BPER by the end of the year. If this will be possible, and there is a strong commitment of all the structure of BPER, we think that it's possible to go below 15% by the end of 2018. So after, in 3 years' time, 2018, 2021, there is a decline of other 5 percentage point. Let me express that this year, the decline was 2.3 percentage point. So we can manage with the activity of our workout unit, but at the same time with other small disposals, because what we expect is to cover with a high level of coverage not only the portion that we are going to sell with the two securitization, but a wider amount of non-performing, so with other specific disposal to reach the target of below 10% in 3 years' time after the 15 drop in 2018. Within that, the coverage, we expect to have a coverage in at the end of the fourth quarter 2018, so this year, above 57%. This is what we expect to have. And this, in our view, is extremely important, also thinking about the future provisioning on the non-performing, because we, in this situation, we already reach an important level of coverage, and probably the last part of the new provisioning will be focused on new default. We expect to respect also the target of Common Equity 1 at 12%, and also starting from the first quarter 2018. And speaking about the EBA guidelines, first of all, they will be enforced only in 2021, but our expectation is that the impact on BPER will be manageable, and this for many different reasons, but probably the most important is to remember you that our validation of internal model was only 1 year ago in 2016, and also that the validation was by the ECB. And after the validation, we understand the reason, because the approach of ECB was so strong in some part, also because now we understand that in many situations they try to use the approach of the guidelines. So for this reason, we expect to manage efficiently also the EB guidelines. Another important point that after the validation, we every year we update the model of probability of default, LGD and EAD. So every year we have this update. Also, this is an important factor to understand why in the situation of BIPA, the impact will change. Last point, that we have a rollout plan because we want to have the Indiana model also in other legal entities that today are a standard. So we think that it's possible to have some, to be able to offset partially with this rollout also the effect of the guidelines. So we have no concerns about this application for BIPA. About, let me say, the provisioning in 2018, obviously we think that we have an important drop. One of the drivers of profitability for this year will be less provisioning. And let me say that what in our view that this will be possible starting from the fourth quarter, because after the great extra provisioning of 1 billion, I repeat, the new provisioning will be focused on new default, because we reach a high level, more than 57% of coverage on our portfolio.
Thank you.
The next question is from Giovanni Razzoli with Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. Some clarifications on your updated de-risking plan. So if you can firstly share with us what are the amount of securitization that Banco di Sardegna is expected to complete, and especially if you can share with us what's the amount that you expected to perform by year-end at BPER. That's my first question. And then the second question relates to the size of the risking plan. So in the November conference call, you mentioned that you were targeting 3 billion euros of NPL sales, if I remember correctly, to get to an NPL ratio of 13.5% in 2020, if I'm not mistaken, these were the targets you are giving us. Now you want to go at 15% by 2018 and 10% in 2021. So basically, you are improving the target by something like 3.5 to 4 percentage points. So is it fair to assume that basically you are roughly increasing the NPL disposal target by something like 2 billion euros in total. And the final question related to the plan, you are reiterating that whatever is the disposal, the CET1 will remain above 12%, but clearly here we have additional disposals, so additional adjustments. So I was wondering if you can share with us what will be the capital release that you expect to activate in order to offset the additional sales. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Giovanni. So first of all, about the two securitization, so I do confirm that on the Banco di Sardegna, our target is 1 billion euro. Let me say, if possible, a little bit more than 1 billion. You are working on this, so probably could be some more than 1 billion. On BPER, we estimate something between 1.8 to 2 billion euros. So the total amount of the two securitization will be not less of 3 billion euros. And at the same time, you are working on some write-off activity, and probably in the first quarter 2018, it's possible to see a drop also due to this activity. So this, for this reason, the target of below 15% by the end of 2018, in my view, is absolutely achievable. Let me say, if we were able to reduce the NPE ratio by 2.3% in 1 year, I think that is possible to have confidence for a reduction of a 5 percentage point in 3 years. We think that is possible to do also something better. But anyway, what is we expect is to have another 1 billion of bad loans well covered after the extra provisioning at the beginning of 2018. And in this area, it's possible to see other disposal of bad loans. With this buffer, 1 billion, and with the activity of on a likely to pay and bad loans, this 10 percentage point of NPE gross ratio is achievable. And we think also that we are able to confirm the level of 12%. Let me say the most important element is the first quarter 2018. Where we are going to use the large part of our action to have the better coverage on the bad loans. So now we work in this day to have a good estimate what I can say that we are above 12% without any consideration of the fiscal effect on the extra provision, because if I take into consideration also the fiscal effect, probably we are close to 13%. But in the day, the year after, we can have some benefit coming from the fiscal effect. So our expectation is to see a tax rate, a very low tax rate in the next next year. So a positive contribution to our common equity one through the profitability enhanced by the also by the very low tax rate. This is our view on the evolution of non-performing on one side and the capital position on the other.
Thank you.
The next question is from Riccardo Rovere with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good evening to everybody. To get back 1 second on your updated de-risking plan, you have reduced by 1 percentage point the gross NPE ratio in only one quarter because the gross NPEs go down and the loan book is going up, if I have seen it correctly. You're saying that 15% should be achieved, or less than 15% should be achieved by the end of 2018 with the disposals. And then you think this ratio could go down or should go down by additional 5 percentage points in the following 12 quarters. So I was just wondering, you know, if the macro remains supportive, meaning that you will continue to recover, BPER credit management will continue to recover, don't you think that recovering 5 percentage points in 12 quarter is a bit, let's say, kind of conservative, given that you have achieved 1 percentage point in only 3 months? Do you think that the less than 10% could be achieved before 2021? This is my first question. The second question I have is, again, on the fiscal impact you were mentioning a few minutes ago, is a decision that is not in your hands whether you're going to be recognized the tax loss carry forward related to the 1 billion provisions, and the 13%, is it that you were mentioning before, if you included the fiscal benefit, is this kind of pro forma including the progressive use of the tax losses carry forward over a foreseeable number of years in the future? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Riccardo, for your question. And first of all, on our MP plan and the ambitions of this plan. Well, I think that you are right. You know that typically our approach is conservative. We want to give a target to the market, and then, if it's possible, to do something better. For example, we said that at the end of 2017, the target was 20.5. Now we are below 20. And this is our approach. So I hope that it's possible also see if the environment will be better than we continue with this kind of situation that we have today to do something better. Now our estimation is that this is clearly achievable, and we hope to do this before. But let me say, now the focus is to complete the two securitization by the end of 2018. And let me say, when we be below 15%, and this is clearly achievable, we can stress our model to understand if it's possible to reduce the timeline to reach the level of below 10%. Then I ask you, Roberto Ferrari, to give you some element about your second question. Roberto.
Okay. Hi, Riccardo. The 12% target and threshold is not considering any fiscal benefit. We consider also only the fiscal benefit that we will have in the first quarter 2018, and we will have a very low tax rate, but we are not considering the fiscal losses that we will write back quarter by quarter in the future 5 years or years of the plan, actually. So we will have recurrent profitability that will have a very low tax rate through the write back of fiscal losses from the past.
Okay, very clear. But so you think you will be given the tax losses carry forward? Those tax losses carry forward will be recognized in your balance sheet?
Yeah, in the future, yes, through recurring profitability.
Okay.
Every quarter we have a profit, actually we will write back losses from the past.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks.
So let me add only one word about the profitability. Obviously, the expectation is to see a strong reduction in cost of risk. So if we analyze our provisioning, we see that a large part of these are focused on bad loans. So if we complete extra provisioning 1 billion, the amount of the new provisioning will be not on bad loans, but as I said before, new default. And for this reason, we see that it's possible to see a decline around, let me say, 300, 320 million, the cost of risk during 2018. And so, for this view, we enhance the profitability and we take advantage of the fiscal portfolio that we have in our balance sheet.
Thanks.
The next question is from Hugo Cruz with KBW. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. A lot of the questions were made, but I mean, can you, you know, this is a more personal comment. It would be great if all these kind of new guidance could have been put into a slide, right? It would make life a lot easier for, you know, for everyone that's not on the call. But, you know, are you reiterating your cost of risk guidance from Q3, you know, on what could be the cost of risk in, you know, with this new plan, this new NPL plan? Are we still talking about the cost of risk below 60 basis points, you know, after 2018? That's question number one. You know, question number two, you know, to get to the, you know, to get to the 10% of NPL ratio by 2021, I guess one way of doing it is basically 3 extra billion of disposals after 2018. But another one is obviously loan growth. I mean, can you give some guidance there? What kind of loan growth you're assuming, or what kind of disposals you're assuming? You know, just a little bit more concrete would be helpful. And then a final question. You know, just to make sure we are at above 12% Core Tier 1 in Q1, you know, I understand, you know, the IFRS 9 impact. I understand there was some, you know, effect of 150 to 300 million from excess minorities, you know, the deduction of minorities that will mitigate the IFRS impact. There's also the 10 to 15 basis points of the IRB at Carife. Is there any other lever that you're going to use to be at that 12% by Q1 18? That's it. Thank you very much.
Okay, Hugo, thank you very much for your questions. First of all, about the new plan and the cost of risk. Yes, our estimate is that the 60 basis points, around 60 basis points, could be our target in the cost of risk for the following years. Let me say that also in this 2017, we could reduce the cost of risk below 100%, but we take advantage for the badwill, to use the badwill, also to increase the provisioning. If you look at our provisioning quarter by quarter, you can see that we increase the provisioning in the fourth quarter when we had a benefit from the badwill. So our decision was to take advantage of the badwill to increase the provisioning and to increase the coverage by 4 percentage points in this year. So also this year, probably we can go below 1%, but the expectation is to be around 60 basis points in the near future. Speaking about the NPE ratio, obviously we have an expectation to see a reduction in the stock. So let me say a first important drop. In the last 18 months, we had 1 billion less of bad loans. Now we expect to see something between 3 and 3.5 billion by the end of this year, so to go below 15%. Obviously, another important element is the loan growth. Our expectation is to see something around 1.5-2% on the commercial side, and this will support the trend on the NPE ratio. As the previous question, I asked to Roberto to say something more precise on the capital position.
Okay, Hugo. On the FTA, there are three factors actually impacting the capital. One is the minorities in Banco di Sardegna and the provisioning we are doing there. Yeah, I remember that underlined the fact that the minority is 49%. The second factor is profitability in the first quarter with a very low tax rate, because as we said, we will write back taxes on that. And also, actually, and we have other factors working on risk-weighted assets that are the Carifa impact, we said, the fact that we'll reduce large corporate lending with very high density of risk-weighted assets, and there is also the impact of the reduction of risk-weighted assets through the extra provisioning, that is something around 250 million in risk-weighted assets. So if you combine those factors, you will actually find that you will apply the 12% threshold at the end of March.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Riccardo Rovere with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my question again. First of all, a clarification on your risk cost guidance. Have you mentioned 50 basis points or 60 basis points? Because if I remember correctly, from my previous notes, I have 60 basis points in 2020, if I remember correctly, from your, let's say, from the presentation in the third quarter. Didn't get it whether you said 50 or 60. This is my first question. The second question I have is on the, again, on capital 1 second, if all your calculation include or not a possible negative impact on risk-weighted assets from deterioration in the LGD. If I remember correctly, in the previous conference call, you mentioned two or maybe three billions eventually out of that. So if that is included somehow in your calculations, and then on still something related to that, in previous conference calls, you mentioned the possibility of eventually reclassifying held to maturity assets into available for sale, which, if I remember correctly, was supposed to give you something like 100 million euro of a possible gain, whether you think you're going to use it. And finally, on the you mentioned a few times the possibility to do something on the minorities of Banca di Sardegna, aside from the capital impact that we all understand. Do you think this could eventually be a way to improve the efficiency within the group and give the group let's say a leaner corporate governance and a leaner structure? Thanks.
Okay, Riccardo, I take the first question to confirm that the cost of risk will be, our estimation is around 60 basis point. And on the impact of LGD, let me say preliminary that you know that there is always a delay between the disposal and the update on the LGD. So if you complete disposal in 2018, the effect will be only probably 1 year after. But let me give the stage to Roberto for some clarification on these topics.
Okay, on Riccardo, on the NPE strategy, actually we embed the LGD effects. It is the 2.8 billion, and it is through internal workout and write-off and also disposal. And a part will be taken in 2019 and a part of it in 2020. And the second point that you raised was the to maturity. Yeah, it is true. You remember well. Actually, we have also an impact in the FTA through the conversion of held to maturity into held to collect and sell to the FTA, and should be the impact should be of around 100-110 million net. Clearly, also it is important to see how the markets will behave from now into the end of March 2018 to see where the reserve will be and the impact on common equity.
So about the minorities of Banco di Sardegna, it's an important issue. So we think that is important, first of all, to complete the securitization of Banco di Sardegna. This was, in our idea, the first step. Then there is probably the opportunity to have an exchange of ideas with Foundation Sardegna. We understand that probably it's possible to have a discussion about this element, also because probably it's in line with the expectation of Foundation Sardegna to have something with a different level of liquidity. And so we understand that this is a potential area of benefit for our capital position. But let me say, first of all, we want to complete the securitization, then we try to understand if it's possible to start a conversation on this issue.
Okay, very clear. Just one thing, I still didn't get whether you said 50 or 60, 50 or 60, sorry.
60. Yes, this is the typical Emilian accent.
Okay.
Thank you, Ricardo.
Thanks.
Okay, no closing remarks. Just thank you very much for the attention, and have a good evening, and see you soon. Bye-bye.